Bilston Creek Farm is a family-run lavender apple and honey farm. The Penn family bought the farm from the Capital Regional District in 2004. Settled first in 1851, the Whitty family had owned it from the 1860s until selling to CRD not long before the Penns bought it. At the time of purchase, it had been neglected for many years and was in disrepair. A trailer, a boat, and a 40s Buick were discovered buried under deep bramble. It took over 10 years to clear away garbage, cut back invasive plant growth, and gradually reveal the old heritage orchard. Section by section, the land was cleared, cover crops grown, and after much planning was ready for planting. Lavender was the crop of choice due to the mild climate and wonderful sandy soil, allowing high yields per acre. After researching which lavender grows best in this region, two main cultivars were chosen, and propagation began until over 4,000 plants were created. Lavender, a Mediterranean herb, prefers a mild climate with 8 hours of full sun per day. Like grapes, the plants need sweet soil with a pH over 7, and in the wet North Pacific, the soil needs annual amendment with lime to keep it from becoming acidic. Soil rich in organic matter produces nice green plants, whereas a harsh, thick, gravelly environment encourages abundant flowers full of lavender oil. In general, lavender is very hardy, and pests and diseases tend to be localized to specific regions. Most of the issues here are secondary infections from plants that are under extreme stress. Fungal diseases and root rot occur with high rainfall, poor drainage, and compacted soil. Diseases are also spread through equipment that has not been well maintained. Prevention is key, and plants need to be grown in light, well-draining soil with good ventilation. In the spring, you can see the plants covered with spittlebugs, which is the juvenile froghopper. The foam it produces protects the larva from predators and from drying out in the heat. Despite being a sapsucker, this small bug is considered harmless to the plants, but does have the potential for spreading unwanted viruses. Aphid-specific sprays can be used without harming bees or other insects, but we use organic farming methods and are experimenting with companion planting with umbelliferous plants, specifically yarrow, which attract predatory insects like the parasitic wasp. Cilantro and dill are both good examples, as well as carrot, parsley, parsnip, celery, and fennel. Bilston grows two main types of lavender, the sweeter fragrant English cultivar, Folgate, and a hybrid known as Grosso. Folgate blooms a soft violet blue early in June and is one of the hardiest English lavender cultivars. Grosso, found in our main field, is a popular plant in the lavender farming world because of its high oil-yielding spike flowers. It's a dense plant that can grow to approximately 75 centimetres tall, with the spikes up to 9 centimetres long, making it a great hedge plant. The other cultivars grown here in the smaller field to the south of the store building towards the greenhouse include Munstead, Hidcote, Big Time Blue, Ashdown Forest, and Melissa Pink. These cultivars bloom in a variety of colours, from deep blue to light pink, and are used for the sweet, fragrant smell and culinary buds. Our lavender season starts in June, when the English lavenders flower. The fresh stems are cut and bundled by hand and hung on the walls of our drying barn. The barn walls are usually covered with drying English lavender from late June to early July. After this, the hybrid lavender Grosso blooms, and you can enjoy a sea of blue stretching from our patio to the forest surrounding the fields. By mid-July, the lavender in the barn will be gradually switched over as we harvest the main lavender field. Once the lavender is dry, it's taken down from the wall and then further processed to remove the flower buds or to create dried flower arrangements. The lavender that is not dried is hand-harvested fresh and packed into one of our stills where it undergoes steam distillation. The distillation process takes about 3 hours, and we often do multiple runs a day from mid-July into September. The result is essential oil and hydrosol, also known as distilled floral water. If you are visiting in the summer, you might see one of our distillation stills in action. Feel free to ask one of our staff members how they work. We also distill other botanicals like Western Cedar Leaf and Nootka Rose, and you will find samples of these in the farm store to try. Through the summer, the lavender field turns from blue to green as we harvest from the edges of the field moving inwards. Some plants will show a second growth, but most of the plants have just one bloom per season. We go through the whole field once more in the fall to prune the plants before the winter. This is labour-intensive, but an important step to keep the plants healthy and allow for a clean growth the following year. Our apiary is located behind the vegetable garden, and the honey that is made when the lavender and blackberry flowers are in bloom results in our lavender blackberry honey. After the blackberry bloom finishes, we move the hives to the Souk Hills area, where fireweed is abundant, and this is where our wildflower honey is made. All the honey and wax is processed here on the farm using a honey extractor, much like a centrifuge, and by melting and filtering the wax until it's clean. As the season changes, the farm begins harvesting the heritage apples and pressing them for fresh juice. The orchard was planted by the Whitty family in the late 1860s. Apple trees planted along the park trails spanning from Whitty's Lagoon to the beach were all part of the larger farm before that portion of the land was donated to the park. About 40 apple trees remain today and are heritage varieties, including King, Transparent, Vanderpool, and Wealthy, but with many unknowns, even to local apple experts. Together, though, the blend is excellent for cider production. Although some of our fruit tree varieties are unknown, it is said that one of our pear trees is a winter Nellis and possibly the oldest pear tree in BC. Our orchard is one of a few along the Metchosin coast which survived the raising of apple orchards across North America during Prohibition from 1917 to 1921. After Prohibition ended, the faster-growing hops replaced apples, and beer became the dominant drink. Apples grown since that time are selected more as eating apples with a premium placed on durability and looks, and don't match the old variants for cider and apple juice quality. If you visit in the fall, you will see the 100-year-old refurbished wooden apple press in action. The juice used in our drinks is UV pasteurized and packaged at juicing facilities in the Victoria area. Our yield is about 250 litres of juice from 1,000 pounds of apples. Through the winter, you can sip the hot apple cider along with many other farm-made drinks. We also switch our distillation from lavender to Western Cedar Leaf, producing a sweet, fresh, woody scent with hints of camphor. The oils and hydrosols, as well as the honey and wax, are all processed and used to make the products sold in the Bilston Creek Farm Store. Our entire collection is made on our farm with our own lavender, apples, honey, locally foraged botanicals, and thoughtfully sourced ingredients. The products are carefully handcrafted in small batches in the farm product kitchen. Today at Bilston Creek Farm, our goal is to grow and provide quality natural products and honour the land's rich heritage. Through organic farming practices, we strive to create a place of beauty, wellness, and connection where people can experience nature and the legacy of the land for generations to come. Thank you for visiting, and we hope to see you again soon.